Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Happy weekend, Tampa Bay. Your Lightning keep on rolling. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, presented all season long by Bill Curry Ford. My name is Tom Lang, and howdy! The Bolts hit the road this week. Three games between last podcast and this one. 6 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we procured 5 points. Okay. No matter how you slice it, those are the results you want on the road. It's the first road trip of the season for the Lightning, and really after a disappointing finish last Saturday night against the Wild, they've been rolling. You know, I get mad oftentimes at this team for the inconsistency in effort, and I lament what I call a culture of complacency. And there was a clip I wanted to go grab. I didn't do it for this week, but it's something along the lines of how many times must the lesson be learned? And Tampa and the postgame quotes after a Saturday defeat at the hands of the Minnesota Wild, they lost 5-4 in overtime, a game that we led by 2 goals in 2 different instances. 3-1 was our final 2-goal lead. They said to themselves and they said to the media, we can't let a team back in the game. We had it by the horns. We took our foot off the gas and we lost. A lot of cliches packed in there, by the way. And so, how many times must the lesson be learned? Hopefully, what we saw in response to that defeat, which you get a point out of, is what we're going to be watching for the lion's share of the season. I want to make something clear, too. You know, just because Tampa Bay loses doesn't mean that they gave poor effort. You can give great effort and lose. See the Wednesday game against Colorado, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Other teams are really good, too. You know, I don't think the Lightning should go 82-0 in this season because they're so talented. I do believe that we are a top 2 or 3 team across the sport right now, so you should win most games. But there are times when effort is there and you're just not good enough on a given night. That happens. But when you have a game within your grasp and you can see that the intensity level falls off, that is where I do get frustrated. But enough about the negative. This has been a really positive week for Tampa because of said response. So you lose 5-4 Saturday night to the Minnesota Wild in overtime. Then on Sunday, you bounce back and you absolutely paced the Chicago Blackhawks at United Center. I know the score says 6-3, but it was more like a 6-1 type game. We took it to Chicago. Set an NHL record in the second period on Sunday night. 33 shots in that second period. Somewhere Kenny Albert of NBC Sports needs a little bit of alone time. It's a lot of shots, and that guy loves him some shot boards. Yeah. Then on Wednesday night, the game I said that I was looking forward to the most because it pits a really young and up-and-coming team in the Colorado Avalanche against our Bolts, and a team that's playing very well. The Avalanche were on the road, and they were a victory tour across the NHL. They come back home to a raucous Pepsi Center. The people of Denver are excited once again for Colorado Avalanche hockey, and the Avalanche came out flying. First period, they were nearly untouchable. But we weather the storm, get an assist from our video coach, more on him later as well, and we win this hockey game 1-0. A lot of times, you see a final score that says 1-0, and you think to yourself, my goodness, what a boring game. Must have been a lot of poor offense. No, no, no. This is about the most entertaining 1-0 non-playoff game I've ever seen in my life. It lived up to the billing. And it was a big-time win for the Bolts because of the way the game started. But then, in the third period, desperately needing a goal, not just as a team, but as an individual, we had the connection of Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, on the power play.
Down by Kucherov, sprawling play here. Stamkos, Kucherov scores! Power play goal, Nikita Kucherov with his 150th! And the Lightning break the ice.
NBC Sports, of course, had the call there. It's a nationally televised game, and what a game it was. But can we listen back there again? Did I hear the sound of cheers, like a lot of cheers, when we scored a goal on the road?
Down by Kucherov. Sprawling play here. Stamkos, Kucherov scores! Power play goal, Nikita Kucherov!
Way to go, Bolts fans. How about that? You know, as a Lightning fan, I'm used to seeing opposing jerseys in our own building and hearing a lot of cheers when Canadian teams make their way to Tampa Bay or Original Six teams. But how about that? Go back and look at that clip. You can find it at NHL.com or the Tampa Bay Lightning Twitter feed. But holy smokes, there's a lot of white and blue in the stands standing up and cheering as we take a decisive 1-0 lead. Okay, Tampa Bay. I like it. Are we growing as a fan base around this country? Works for me. Andre Vasilevsky was, to me, the hidden player in this win. He was the guy who was making big-time saves with the game obviously tied at zero, but he was the one who was neutralizing momentum. He was the one that was keeping us in the game. If you look at the end of the second period and the beginning of the third period, there's a couple of point-blank saves he makes, one on MacKinnon in the high slot, and then one, I think it was Landeskog, don't quote me on that, to begin the third period. I think it's the first 15, 20 seconds, where if he doesn't make those, who knows? That place was begging for a reason to erupt, and 88 came up big. He has been, without a doubt, living up to the billing. In a game that's 1-0, you would think a goalie plays an important role, but Vasilevsky had to make some very tough saves in this game to give us a chance to score a decisive goal like that one. And honestly, I think it's the sign of things to come for Nikita Kucherov. Nikita Kucherov is one of those types of players that you can see on the ice exactly how he feels about his game and exactly where his emotions stand. And it's not in a way of intensity and physicality. It's just he will hang his head. He will look to the rafters. He'll yell. When things aren't going well, he is bothered. He is very bothered on the ice. And I think it affects him in a negative way where he doesn't pick up his feet and skate as much. The puck kind of finds him and he goes, oh, bleep. Here's the puck. I got to do something with it. It's just not as crisp as when he's feeling good about himself. He flies when he is in a groove, and he has a tendency to shoot more when he is in a groove. When he is reeling and confidence is low, he doesn't want to shoot the puck. He doesn't want to let the team down. He goes into uber selfless mode and overpasses. In the case of this game, obviously, the extra pass did work for Steven Stamkos, who does largely the same thing. It's a point of frustration I have with this group and these two superstars is they just, it's like hot potato. They don't want it when they're struggling. They don't want to shoot. Let's just give the puck to somebody else. But when Nikita is going well, you can see it all over his face. And I think what's really great about Wednesday night and the way the game finished is that he was picking up his feet in the third period, generated a couple of steals, was competing for pucks, and then he is rewarded after he does that with a big-time goal. I mean, think about it. The play all begins with Nikita holding the puck in along the glass. According to The Athletic, it went off his face, it went off his cheek, and he keeps the play in, makes a great pass to Stamkos on the other side of the ice over the outstretched or just past the outstretched stick of a Colorado penalty killer, gets it back, and buries the opportunity. This after, at the end of the second period, great sequence. He skates up the ice, give and go, has a point-blank opportunity from just inside the circle, and it goes off a teammate's shaft of their stick instead of into the open net. And he is pissed in that moment, and he should be. But he fought through it, and he gets a big goal, and there was a catharsis in that moment. Screaming to the heavens like Alex Ovechkin after a Stanley Cup victory. If you think about it, on Sunday, the Tampa Bay Lightning won the game by just barraging Chicago. 33 shots, as we said, the NHL record in the second period. By law of averages, you're going to score 4 or 5 goals minimum. Unless you're facing Dominic Hasek in his prime or Roberto Luongo anytime he plays Tampa Bay, you're in business on a night like we played against Chicago, where we're just dominating. All the loose pucks come our way, but we are generating shot after shot after shot. That is a dominant win. But what do you do when the chips are down and you have to play a little bit harder? Tampa Bay had to weather the storm. Nathan MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Mikko Rantanen are one of the best lines in the game. Probably the hottest line across the league right now. And Nathan MacKinnon is the type of player that when he has the puck on his stick and he gets going just a little bit, you have to hold your breath. As an opponent and even as a fan of his in the stands, it is from one side of the ice, oh crap, what's coming next? And the other side is, oh yeah, check out what's about to happen next. We did a great job of minimizing what they were bringing to the table after the first period. They're going to get their chances, and you're going to have to make some saves, and Vassy did. But John Cooper speaking about that in a couple other comments as well in his post game after Colorado, talking about different ways to win hockey games.
You know, fortunately for us, we got 2 points. There could have been points handed out to both teams in this one. The shots were close, scoring chances were close. It came down to special teams, and we were able to break through. But it's you have to win games all different ways. And, some nights pucks will be bouncing your way and they'll be, you get the shots, and some nights you got to grind. And tonight was one of those games that we had to grind. And but proud of the effort. And when we did break down, the kid in goal was outstanding for us. And so total team effort tonight.
It was a total team effort. Think about it. Vasilevsky makes the saves to keep you in the game. You play great defensive hockey after the first period to hold Colorado just to those 12 shots. And if you think about it, there's one cool play where Ryan McDonagh in general, I do think, is coming around and he's starting to play a little bit better within our system. But when you're a kid in Little League, for example, in baseball, you take infield grounders, right, as they're trying to figure out if you're good enough to play infield, outfield, whatever. And, of course, when it's your turn in line, what happens? The baseball skips off a rock or it hits an indentation because you don't have enough infield dirt. And what does it do? It either hits you in the face or the chest or whatever. And your coach yells something to you. What does he yell to you? Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay on top of it. Keep it in front of you. Good job. Stay with it. McDonagh, in the second period, is skating backwards, and here comes Nathan MacKinnon with a full head of steam. And what this dude can do to you is put you on his highlight reel, your low light reel, forever with a couple of moves. So you got to hold your breath, as I said. McDonagh ends up falling on his belly, but stretches out his stick, stays with the play, and pokes it off of MacKinnon's stick, gets it to the boards. Ryan McDonagh staying with the play. He is also a player that I do think is starting to look more comfortable in what we're doing. And, oddly enough, if you want to take a quick look at minute disparities on defense, no surprise that Victor Hedman is number one on the team in average time on ice. He plays 22 and a half minutes, but just 5 seconds behind him is Ryan McDonagh at 22:25. That's a good sign. They don't play together, and Hedman plays on the power play, so what does that mean? Even strength time, penalty kill time, Ryan McDonagh is one of your key players. Anton Strahlman is number three on the team at 21 minutes and 56 seconds a game. But who is your number four defenseman? As of right now, even though they're kind of bunched together, it's Mikhail Sergachev. He's playing 16:40 a night, 15 seconds clear of Dan Girardi, and Braden Coburn's playing 14:38. So as Mikhail Sergachev is developing, he is now climbing up the ranks ever closer to that magic number of 18 to 20 minutes a night. We said last year, he's filling up the score sheet, yes. Looks like we've won that Drouin deal, yes. But make no mistake, he's your third pair. He's only playing 12 minutes a night, 10 and a half, maybe 14 in an odd game where you have a lot of power play chances. But Sergachev was not one of your top four. Now he is. And if he continues to develop in the defensive zone, Ryan McDonagh continues to look more comfortable on the blue line for Tampa Bay and what we want to do as a system, then the blue line comes together in a way that your penalty kill looks as good as it does, which is, I think, still north of 96%. That's just stupid. And then, of course, you're keeping the goal totals down, the goals against down. And that's what it's about, right? It's about trying to win in different ways. We'll go to three stars after this break, and we'll also take a look at the NHL standings. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Good times, Tampa Bay. There's a lot of good, positive things happening. And before we go to break, one more time, Matthew Joseph is a keeper. That kid can skate, can he? More after this.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts fan, Joe Bucks fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hard not to be in love with 5 points out of a possible 6 on this road trip, and also a Friday matinee. What the heck? Las Vegas, I love it. 6 p.m. puck drop from the desert today. So once you get to your happy hour spot of choice, or you get home to spend your time with your family for the weekend, your kids aren't missing some West Coast hockey. You don't have to DVR it and watch it and replace Saturday morning cartoons. There it is. 6 p.m. tonight, Tampa Bay and the Vegas Golden Knights. Hopefully the Vegas flu, it's becoming famous, the quote-unquote Vegas flu from spending too much time in the casinos. Hopefully it doesn't bite us today, because then we're back in a different kind of desert tomorrow. We're in Arizona. 9 p.m. puck drop against the Coyotes. 3 stars of the week. We haven't done one this season, but it's time to do the 3 stars of the week right here on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Time now for the Joe Bolts Fan 3 stars of the week.
Greetings
indeed. And so I know I'm going to unfortunately pull rank here and be a little bit selfish for the number 3 star of the week, but I have to do this because of personal ties that date back to the 90s. Here we go.
Number 3.
Nigel Kerwin. Congratulations, Coach Nigel Kerwin. Who the hell is Nigel Kerwin, Tom, you might say, if you're a casual Tampa Bay Lightning fan? Well, he is somebody who has been with the Tampa organization since its inception. He goes back to the Thunderdome, and hey, a lot of us longtime fans do as well. As I've said before, one of my 3 sisters worked for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 90s. She worked in their Tampa Bay, or downtown Tampa office, I should say, when they were located at the Thunderdome. Then she was there as they moved to the Ice Palace. And she stayed on just for a little while. When Art Williams took over, she saw that he was a yokel and she got the hell out of Dodge. But I say that to say this. When I was a youngster and I was impressionable about sports, one of the principal reasons I fell in love with the Tampa Bay Lightning was because, as this pen drops on the floor, was because I got to experience behind the scenes what it was like to experience hockey at the highest level. So, for example, the Christmas parties. You could skate on the ice at the Thunderdome with the players. Are you kidding? Like, that's every little kid's dream. I was so lucky. And if you recall back in those days, they had this area in what is today, I think, the right field line or the outfield at Tropicana Field, and it was called Fanland, and they had arcade games, and they had a midway of usual carnival-type stuff, and then they also had a street hockey rink where kids could line up and play 10 minutes of street hockey together. Well, for the Christmas party, that thing was completely empty, and I wanted to go play there because the time to skate was up. Nigel Kerwin spent at least a half an hour playing with me, just the two of us. He saw a kid who wanted to play the game of hockey. He decided, as a young guy himself, that he wanted to foster that and to play the game that he loves with the kid. I'll never forget that. I will never forget that he was so nice and so gracious, and he was low on the totem pole at that point. But if it wasn't for Nigel Kerwin and the line of communication he has with the bench on Wednesday, asking for an offside review on a really close play, Landeskog's goal that wasn't, Colorado would be up 1-0 in that first period, and who knows? You get that challenge wrong, you take a penalty too. It'd be a 5-on-4. Maybe it's 2-0 at that point. But who knows? We might get blown out. The way Colorado is skating in the first period, they were dominating us. So kudos, Coach Nigel Kerwin. Love you, man. Thanks for fostering a passion for the game. Thanks for letting me enjoy a little bit of street hockey with you decades ago. Number two star up next.
Number two.
Well, that has to be Nikita Kucherov, who scored two goals since we last spoke, but the second of those two goals, massively important. He is not as streaky as Steven Stamkos. If you take a look, he's still a point-a-game player, and he hasn't produced in terms of goals as much as we would like. But when he gets confident, there's nothing you can do. And so I fear for the Vegas Golden Knights. I fear for the Coyotes tomorrow night. Nikita Kucherov is coming for you. And I think it doesn't matter what line he's going to be on, but I think if we struggle a little bit in our top six, you might see him get paired with Steven Stamkos this weekend. Should be fun to watch, but we all know what Nikita can do when he is red hot, and that is find the top corner of the net, because that is what he does. So watch out for number 86. I think some jaw-dropping plays are on the way.
Number one.
Cut myself off there at the end, but woo for Andrei Vasilevskiy. Listen, he let up one of the worst goals I've ever seen him let up in overtime against Minnesota on Saturday. That game ender was ugly. I mean, really, really bad. But I don't blame him for that loss, because we as a team, as a group of skaters, took our foot off the gas to allow Minnesota to be in a place where we went to overtime in the first place. Bad goal, yes, but we don't win that game. We don't come away with a single point on Wednesday night against Colorado in a game that took shape kind of like a playoff light atmosphere by the end of it, without Andrei Vasilevskiy being truly dominant when we needed big saves. Vasilevskiy has been the MVP thus far this season. Our top scorers haven't scored as much as we would like, but who has been there for us to keep us in games when we kind of fall asleep at the wheel? It's Vassy, and he continues to do that. For my money, through 1/10 of the season, for what that's worth, nearly through the first month of the season, we will be next time we talk, Andrei Vasilevskiy is your early season candidate for MVP. So there are your three stars. Now let's take a look at the standings. Ah, well, hell. I mean, you know, I work for ESPN Tallahassee, so I have licensing rights to use the NHL National Hockey Night music from ESPN's good old days. I do miss Gary Thorne. I think of that every time I hear this music. But let's take a look around the league, shall we? And we'll play this damn song on loop if we need to. In the Atlantic Division, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in third place currently through eight games. We have a 6-1-1 record, 13 points, but two games in hand on both Toronto and Boston. They both hold 14 points through 10 games played. Our percentage much better. All you got to do, pick up a point a game in the two that you owe, and we'll be back in first place where we rightfully belong. The Montreal Canadiens, how about Les Habitants? Through nine games, 5-2-2, 12 points. They want to be contenders this year. And shocker of all shockers, Buffalo Sabres in the Atlantic Division, they're over 500. That never happens. Through 10 games, they are 6-4. Now over to the Metropolitan Division as we re-hit the button. There you go. In the Metropolitan Division, yeah, well, same old, same old. Pittsburgh Penguins are holding down first place. They're 5-1-2 through eight games. Carolina Hurricanes hanging in there through nine games, 5-3-1, just 1 point back. Columbus nipping at both their heels. They're at 10 points, as are the Washington Capitals. A rough go this season for the Red Wings. They are 1-6-2 through nine games. That is a measly 4 points. And if they're battling for the first overall pick or the best chance in the lottery this year, they're battling with the Los Angeles Kings out west, who are 2-7-1. Good God, that's ugly. 2-7-1 for the Kings. Our opponents for tonight, the Vegas Golden Knights, 4-4-1 through nine games, right down the middle. They're 2-1-1 at home. That's nine total points. And the Arizona Coyotes are 4-5 through nine games. That is 8 points. Your division leaders in the West, the Nashville Predators, have 16 points through 10 games. They're 8-2. And the Canucks are 6-5 through 11 games with 12 points. There you go. I timed that out pretty well. The Lightning, again, they finish up a five-game roadie. We picked up 5 out of 6 points. They'll take on the Vegas Golden Knights for a 6 p.m. puck drop tonight. The Arizona Coyotes tomorrow at 9 p.m. And then we circle back to Tampa Bay for a couple of games, a Tuesday-Thursday week before we talk next. And that is New Jersey coming to town, a rematch from the first round of the playoffs last year. A puck drop close to 7:40 p.m. on Tuesday, October the 30th, and then November the 1st the Tampa Bay Lightning host the first place Nashville Predators. A lot of interesting games. And next week we'll preview, obviously, when the Bolts head up to Montreal for a Saturday evening game. That would be at the old Molson Center. So your Lightning are in perfect position to take back first place of the Atlantic Division as we head into the weekend. Nikita Kucherov looks to be coming out of his slump. Looks like defensively we're tightening some things up, and Andrei Vasilevskiy looks great as well. All you need is Steven Stamkos to start scoring goals, and we put together a big-time run. As always, I want to thank the folks at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring this here podcast. We will talk again next Friday morning. And again, subscribe to this podcast on Google Play or iTunes. We are adding podcast formats and carriers all the time. But thank you so much for listening to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast and keeping hockey in Tampa Bay at the forefront of your mind. Go Bucks this weekend. Take care of business on the road at Cincinnati. As long as we don't turn the ball over, I think we're in good shape there. We'll talk to you next week, everybody, and go Bolts.